Listen to John chapter 1 for our reading, and from verse 19. John 1 verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" That we may give an answer to them, a sentence. "What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. They asked him, and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Amen. The Lord bless that reading of his holy word. We can continue with this very short series of marks of the Holy Spirit in this week of prayer. And just remind you again, the three matters we considered: humility, deep humility, boldness, and Christ-centeredness. I mentioned to you, I was in conversation with somebody about heart religion, and they asked the question, how do you know when something is a true work of the Holy Spirit? And I replied, deep humility, boldness, Christ-centeredness, and abounding love. And three of those we have considered. And these three are, and others too, but these three particularly are ones you'll find time and time again in the Scriptures. You will see these marks of the work of the Spirit. They're very striking. They stand out. They're features of the work of the Spirit, both in the individual and in a generation of God's people. When God is with his people, when God is with a man, these three things stand out. Indeed, you could say the lack of them is a mark of the absence of the Spirit. So when a man is full of himself, Not deeply humbled, when he perhaps either is timid or the opposite in a fleshly way, full of bravado, but not the boldness of the Spirit. All those are marks of ourselves without the Spirit. And likewise, if we focus on almost anything but Christ and are taken up with this view or that view, those are marks of lack of blessing. But marks of blessing are these three things in particular. Deep humility, boldness and Christ-centeredness. So we've come to the third and the last one we're going to consider, which is Christ-centeredness, or Christ himself. Now we associate a number of works with the Holy Spirit. We think of regeneration. Being born again is a work we link with the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, the life of followers, is a work we associate with the Holy Spirit. And of course the baptism of the Spirit itself. But this is a special aspect of the work of the Spirit, to point to Christ and to exalt him. In some ways you could say the Spirit is not invisible, but is very much in the background, which is fine, which is why you find in the scriptures the Father, the Son are mentioned a lot. The Spirit is there, powerfully working, but is in the background, so to speak, and pointing to Christ. Likewise in our hymn books, the section of the Holy Spirit is much smaller than that upon Christ, for example. The work of the Spirit is to bring Christ to us and to exalt Christ. That is why when a man is filled with the Spirit in the pulpit, he exalts Christ. And that is what he enjoys doing, because that is what the Spirit is leading him and inspiring him to do. So it's a mark of a man, also a generation, as I said, a generation. A man who exalts Christ is filled with the Spirit. A generation that exalts Jesus Christ is filled with the Spirit and is blessed of God. Hence in times of revivals, of course, that's what you get, as I shall mention in just a moment. But just give you some examples from the scriptures, some striking examples. The prophets. The prophets prophesied a number of things, but what often stands out is their prophecy of the Messiah. There they prophesied Christ wonderfully. The book of Isaiah in particular. The Messianic Psalms. The Psalms about the Messiah. So often the Psalms speak of Christ. The whole of the scriptures, the Old Testament, really can only be understood in the context of Christ. So many of the signs and symbols point to Christ. Also, in the New Testament, preachers like John the Baptist stand out as exalting Christ in a very particular way. And also the Apostle Paul certainly put emphasis upon it. We're very indebted to the Apostle Paul for just spelling it out. As he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you," 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And John the Baptist, as we just read now, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He said it twice, underlined it. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold Jesus Christ." Even you could say the Father, God the Father, as the Spirit, the Father also points to Christ. "Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son." And then also some other verses, Acts 5 verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." A time of revival, of course. Great revival in the book of Acts. And then Acts 8 verse 35, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There we have this wonderful verse. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." A wonderful, simple statement. "Preach unto him Jesus." Very focused mind. This mind of a man filled with the Spirit. As I said, in times of revival, you certainly see this. You see the hymnology, full of Christ. The Welsh language hymns were written almost altogether in times of revival. And they're just full of Christ. In many ways, they're very different to the English hymns, which are very broad and very good in that sense on many subjects. But the Welsh hymns seem to never leave the cross. Even if they go to another subject, it's always founded in Christ and the cross and Christ crucified. The sermons also, full of Jesus Christ's gospel sermons. Even when they were not preaching the gospel, they were preaching the gospel and preaching Christ. So one of the marks, really, isn't it, when a man is blessed, even when he's not preaching Christ, he brings Christ in and the gospel. And we've seen that ourselves. William Williams said regarding Calvinistic Methodist preaching in the 1700s, Christ the text and Christ the sermon. And of course, there's every reason for the Spirit to exalt Christ. The Father highly exalted him, Jesus Christ. We read in Philippians, highly exalted him. The Father gave to the Son the honor to come and reconcile man to God and the plan of redemption. And we read elsewhere, don't we, as we've done in Colossians, in the series in Colossians, all things were made for his pleasure and his glory. And it was for the pleasure of Christ. And such supreme power was given to Christ to make all things in creation. The Father gave that to the Son. Although the Father, of course, is involved in creation, the Son is marked out as creating the world and sustaining the world. And we are here even today because of his permission and power. And all is to his glory and for his pleasure. He is also the Savior and he is the Lord. And these are reasons for the Spirit to exalt him, the Savior of men. What a wonderful title, the Savior of the world. Well, what can you say? This world has seen many leaders, many men and women come and go. But here is the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit lifts him up and exalts him before us. It's a message to us. Believe in him. He is a Savior. And to be saved from our sins, this wonderful work of atonement on the cross, suffering for us and enduring for us to save our souls. And then also, he's Lord. And because of who he is and also what he has done, surely he deserves the title of Lord and Lord of Lords. And he is to be obeyed. And we submit to him and give him honor. Not like like a subject to some tyrant, but rather from the love of our heart. We submit to him as a husband and a wife is a wonderful picture we have in scriptures, the bridegroom and the bride. So this exalting of Jesus Christ is a wonderful mark of the Holy Spirit. And we should look out for these things and look out for the lack of them, to be discerning in our times. And when you look at something, is it true or is it not? Is this the work of the Spirit? If they don't exalt Christ, not just lip service now, but truly preach the truth about him, lift him up, be filled with the Spirit, speak about his name with power, penetrating power, exalting power, and to be humble themselves, not to get in the way of Christ, but to exalt him and to place him first. They often say, don't they, that sometimes you can't see Christ because the preacher's in the way. Well, the job of the preacher is to get out of the way in order to exalt Christ. And likewise with boldness. This is not bravado, presumption. This is something which is just a power and an authority and a boldness that comes from God himself. And these things we look for. These are marks of blessing and the marks of the Holy Spirit. And they're beautiful and they're glorious. And they are things which we love and long for. Well, may we see these things and all the other signs of the Holy Spirit, like abounding love and other marks of the Spirit's work. Well, shall we sing the hymn 932? 932. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to his source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still set up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercies seal and make the sacrifice complete. Shall we stand?